They call it supernatural. Supernatural. They call it supernatural.
It's time to talk to our Twitterati of the week. And look, I'll be honest at this point. Big news this week in the Twitter sphere. The Vatican announced that the Pope joined Twitter. He updates his Twitter feed every Wednesday, we're told. We have spent the week trying to call the Vatican to get the Pope to be our Twitterati. Strangely enough, I can't quite get my head around it. He is not returning our calls. But I actually think that is a good outcome because our Twitterati tonight is a whole lot more interesting, and can I say, probably looks much better in a white dress than the Pope himself. It is, of course, Tara Moss, novelist, TV presenter and journalist, and she tweets at the handle @Tara_Moss. Tara, welcome to the show.
How are you?
I'm very well. What I want to know is, who has @Tara Moss? Why have you got the underscore there, and how can we bring them down?
I believe it's a woman in advertising in the States.
Really?
And she has quite a few followers as well.
She has no right.
Funny, there's been more than one Tara Moss before,
I imagine.
It's not the most original name.
Look, before we get to your Twitter picks, your new book is Skeleton Key, just released, part of the Pandora English series. Now, Pandora English isn't the publisher. It's the character.
That's right.
Although it sounds like a publishing house.
It does. I think you're thinking of Pan Macmillan.
But yeah, exactly. No,
Pandora English is a character that I've written over the last three novels, and I'll be continuing with her. And she is 19, comes from a small town in the States, and she finds herself living in what I'll call an alternate New York. So,
right.
A New York which is alive with supernatural possibility. So this is quite a fun series, a lot of humor. Also, I bring in a lot of references to ancient folklore, to ancient Greek mythology, Egyptian mythology, and so on, and some really fun snippets about supernatural folklore that's sort of been very real to people over the years.
Fantastic. Not to mention in this one, the American Civil War as well.
Yes, that's right. There's Lieutenant Luke, who's one of my favorite characters, and he died in the Civil War. But of course, because he's a character, you can imagine he's sort of, I wouldn't say alive and well, but very much existing in this book as a specter, a very handsome one too.
He does seem to be very much so. Who would play him in a film, do you think?
Oh gosh, I'm never very good at answering that question because he lives in my mind. He occupies
right.
my mind. But he would have to be a very kind of, ruggedly handsome 25-year-old fair-haired fellow who looked good in a Civil War uniform.
Position vacant.
Yes, position vacant.
Indeed. Now, of course, all your novels, you're kind of notorious for putting yourself through fairly extreme research protocols. We've talked about some of the more intellectual academic side of things, but did you have to kind of spill blood or jump out of anything to research this novel?
I've been spending time at let's just say the research has been a little bit less dangerous. So instead of being choked unconscious and set on fire, I've been, pestering professors and academics and spending my time in haunted houses
right.
and at ancient ruins and kind of at old, interesting historical buildings. So, short of sort of dying of fright in the middle of the night in Australia's most haunted house, I haven't really put my life on the line in the same way in this research.
And you are prolific because this is the second book you've had out this year. And
yes.
I noticed online that you've got one scheduled for next year as well already.
I do. I'm writing my 10th novel at the moment, which will be following on from The Skeleton Key, and it's called The Cobra Queen. So I'm immersing myself in all things ancient Egypt at the moment.
Well, something to look out for. The Skeleton Key's on now, but there's more coming in the Tara Moss book collection. Okay, let's talk about your Twitter picks for the week, and I suppose the first one is very appropriate for Skeleton Keys.
Well, Kate Forster is a local author, and she does a wonderful blog, and she blogged the Supernatural Collective Nouns the other day. This is the Stokes Whitby Natural Index of Supernatural Collective Nouns.
Which I haven't followed before. Okay, so why is it Stokes Whitby?
I don't know. I think that's who actually put the list together originally.
Yep.
So she's blogged it. It's not her original material, but she brought me across it. And that's one of the wonderful things about the internet, of course, is that these things go out viral and you discover the most wonderful gems. So this includes things like a doubting of Cyclopses.
A doubting of Cyclopses,
indeed.
Wow.
A senate of griffins. An academy of apparitions? That a percussion of giants?
A percussion of giants? Oh, come on.
Well, just imagine if you were lying on the ground and the giants walked past you. It would be rather a percussion of giants.
Well, what I was imagining was a percussion of giants encountering a doubting of cyclopses.
I have to write that into a book.
Exactly.
You should be writing.
I suppose that's one of the great things about, I suppose, the genre that you're writing in as well. You probably have more call for these sorts of collective nouns than the average person.
Precisely. I can just slip these into a book. They're beautiful. A vexation of zombies.
That's fair enough. I mean, zombies
are rather vexing.
Known for their vexatious qualities. Absolutely.
So there's so many fun ones, and I love this sort of play on words. And when I pointed this one out, I put it out on Twitter and on my Facebook page as well, and a lot of people were saying, well, hang on, I actually thought it was a nest of vampires. And they're saying, you know, I forgot which collective noun they used. They're like, no, that's wrong. Well, I read a book.
Exactly. And I suppose Twitter is actually very good for those sorts of debates because, you know, you can get a vexation of zombies in and still you've probably got, 80-odd characters to spare. Oh, that's fantastic. The Stokes-Whitby Natural Index of Supernatural Collective Nouns. Okay, moving on, Tara Moss. What is your second Twitter pick for the week?
My next Twitter pick is actually an article written by Elizabeth Luidi, who's an Australian woman who has a background in academia and she's a teacher and does some blogging. And she's written a piece that came up on the Huffington Post called "Want a Book by an Aussie Woman in Australia? Look for a Kangaroo on the Spine."
This
was what she was told at her local library. She went into a library a year or so ago and asked, you know, if she could read any books by Australian authors. And they kind of looked at her like, what?
Yeah.
You know, probably has a kangaroo on the spine. Just complete throwaway. And I guess it sort of points to that problem where a lot of Australian authors are really rather undiscovered in their own country. Mm. And certainly female Australian authors, which, you know, it maybe isn't quite as evident until you start looking at the actual stats and break them down. And Vita put out some statistics, I think it was in 2010, that they really had this breakthrough. They actually broke down how often male and female authors were being reviewed in certain publications.
Yeah, yeah.
So Elizabeth Luidi, who's written this wonderful piece on Huffington Post, she, when she saw those stats and when she had that experience at the library, she decided to start something called the Australian Women Writers Challenge for 2012.
Okay, so what is the challenge?
Well, what you would basically do is you'd sign up and dedicate that you would or commit to reading a certain number of Australian women authors' books that year, and you would let people know which books you'd read and you'd review them. So, you know, now everybody has a blog or they've got a, you know, a Facebook page or a Twitter handle or whatever, and they can say, hey, I read this book and I enjoyed it. And I think she said here that over 370 people signed up. I mean, this is just a real grassroots thing, just on her own blog. And to date, I think they've generated over 1,200 reviews of Australian women writers' books.
See, that's really interesting as well because, you've got these structural biases in the publishing industry and then the media industry in terms of reviewing them.
Yes.
But social media capable of many things, good and bad, and we'll move on to talking about some of the worst ones shortly. But, it is possible to counteract some of these big structural
powers. Well, this is a really positive development. I think alternative media in general is really positive because we're seeing all these grassroots kind of changes in movements. Mm. So any marginalized group, and of course, as a successful author myself, I didn't really realize just how tough it was for a lot of the other women writers out there until I looked at these stats and I go, oh my God, you know, 400% more likely to be reviewed if you're a male writer.
Yeah, the stats are pretty.
And this is why in some countries where I'm published, they actually publish me under T. Moss. They don't, so a lot of...
T underscore Moss?
Yeah, not underscore, no, but just T. Moss, so you couldn't be sure if I was a Thomas or whatever.
Right.
And certainly people buying crime fiction, a lot of publishers have noticed that people are more likely to buy crime fiction by male writers because they imagine it will be grittier and more exciting and it won't be, you know, whatever stereotype they have, a flowery or sentimental or overly romantic.
And let's face it, Tara Moss, you can do gritty as good as anyone.
I sure can.
And it's interesting as well, I suppose you mentioned that you've been published in a really fascinating collection of, of countries, not just here and your home original country of Canada. Does social media enable you to have a much closer connection with readers in those other countries?
Absolutely. I get a lot of responses from readers in Brazil and Spain, you know, over in the UK. And I don't think I, well, I know I wouldn't have that connection that I do now because I didn't originally. You know, 10 years ago, when someone wanted to let me know that they enjoyed my book or wanted to ask me a question about my work, they had to send a letter to the publisher, which might then eventually make its way to me.
That's still the system we use at Radio National for all feedback.
But now, literally, in 140 characters, they can say, hi, I enjoyed your book.
Yeah.
Or they can go onto my blog and they can, you know, have a full discussion with me about the book, and it's instant. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about social media, that you can have that level of communication.
Indeed. But to wrap up the segment, let's talk about the downside of the internet and social media, because your third pick is a something that I must say a phenomenon I hadn't come across until we talked about this segment, revenge porn.
This is quite horrific.
Yeah.
There was a piece in the Sydney Morning Herald recently that clued me into this particular version. There's a fellow named Hunter Moore who had a website called isanyoneup.com. I don't mind actually saying that that's the website because it's since been bought by an anti-bullying company or a charity. So that particular website no longer
is
has
no
revenge
longer a
porn
yeah,
on it.
Exactly.
But that was the website. And it, really, this is the downside of the internet. And I'm a big fan of the internet and social media. The downside is that now everybody has an iPhone. There's a real kind of cultural movement towards documenting everything you do. Sometimes that goes wrong when there's not a lot of clothing involved or a lot of alcohol involved.
Indeed.
And where once an indiscretion like that might give you a hangover and some silly stories, now there might be a photograph that's put out into
a permanent electronic trail intimate moments.
Or videos. And in the case of revenge porn that this Hunter Moore has, put his life's work into, this is actually a website where he has invited, you know, jilted exes, angry people to take this sort of these private photos that they have of people and put them in the public sphere and attach them. Not only that, but attach them to the people's names.
So this
and
is
their
the insidious
media.
Thing, yeah, where it actually it's almost like fast tracking the negative potential of the internet because he's connecting into your Facebook pages. And
that's right.
Stuff.
He actually connects through to people's social media. He names the people. He shames the people. And the whole thing is really built on that level of humiliation and. So it's interesting that Anonymous, the group Anonymous, have now vowed to take down Hunter Moore for what he's doing.
Hunter, I think, is the movement, which when you've got a name like that, that's going to happen, isn't it?
Hunter, exactly. Yeah. You know, so it's just a very, it's a complicated and kind of horrible phenomenon. What to do about it is the complicated part, of course. Ethically, it's just wrong on so many levels.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes me glad that I grew up in a time where we didn't have social media.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still growing, but you know, when I was a teenage girl, I didn't have the sorts of problems that teenage girls and teenage boys are going to have now with websites like this out there. And there have been some really, you know, there's been quite a bit of damage caused already.
Absolutely. And presumably, therefore, Hunter Moore is not your Follow Friday, Tara Moss.
No,
but we
certainly
do
not.
Always finish the segment by asking for somebody to follow. Now, I know one of the people you wanted us to follow was @BrainPicker,
yes.
who I must say should take out some sort of award because she's been the most recommended Twitter this year, Maria Popova.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic tweets, but you're not allowed to recommend her,
no.
Tara Moss, so who would you give us instead?
I'm going to give you Eva Cox.
Of course, fantastic.
Eva Cox, which is just @EvaCox.
No underscores
C-O-X,
there.
Yep. Exactly. She's wonderful, not only in the fact that she's a really important thinker in Australia, she links to some really interesting articles, and she's one of the very few people on Twitter who are over 70.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So she provides a really refreshing outlook. She's got under 4,000 followers at the moment. I think she's underfollowed.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Go and start following Eva Cox.
Absolutely. She's on my follow list already, and she's got a great kind of fighting spirit as well. So
she's
lots
got
of
a
fun.
Great fighting spirit. And
smart
very,
and funny, yeah.
Very socially minded, very interested in creating what she calls a better society, a good society, a more sort of equitable world. And she links to some really interesting stuff.
Well and truly worth following @EvaCox, as is @Tara_Moss. Tara, thanks so much for joining us on RN Drive.
My pleasure.
Coming up to 7 o'clock on RN Drive, and in our second hour, we'll talk about the perils of high-profile parents. Philip Ruddock's daughter, Kirsty, Fred Hollows' son, Dr. Cam Hollows, and the son of Richard Carlton, RN Breakfast's very own James Carlton, will join us. We'll also talk about the Perth woman who became a Bollywood star, check this out, as a stunt woman in the 1930s. That's all coming up after the news on RN Drive.